The Torah is presented the Aseret HaDibros, the two seven parshios, the Yisro and Parshas Bo Eschanan. The first luchos of Parshas Yisro were given on the sixth day of Sivan and were broken as a consequence of the Cheder Egel. The luchos of the Aseret HaDibros of Parshas Bo Eschanan represents the second set of luchos that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai after he descended on Yom Kippur, and the association of the second set of luchos with Yom Kippur is expounded on in two different gemaras. One gemara, which is very well known, at the end of Maseches Tainus, the Mishnah writes over there: "Lahoyi Yom Tov LiYisrael ki chamisha sarva'a b'chi Yom Kippurim." There was no greater Yom Tovin than Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur, with the Benos Yushalayim, Yeltsos, the Chayim Lav and Shulin. And the Mishnah concludes over there at Se'enu Re'enu, Benos Tzion, Ramelach Shlomo. Ba'atoro, She'itro Lo'imo, B'yom Chasunoso, B'yom Sim Pasibo. B'yom Chasunoso, the Gemara said, refers to Ba'atoro, B'yom Sim Pasibo, refers to the Binyan Besamidosh, and Bilmar right away comments, Bishlom Yom Kippurim, you should lay space Slichom Mechila. Yom Kippur has it embedded in it, Slichom Mechila, Yom Shenit Nubo Luchos Achron. So, Kuy Gemara, and Rashi over there goes through the entire chronology of exactly what happened in terms of the Cheder Egel. Rashi is found several times, found once there in Maseches Tainus, Rashi is found in Chumash. That's not my interest. We're interested this evening in explaining or attempting to explicate the distinction between the first luchos and the second luchos, why the necessity for two sets of luchos. There's a Gemara in Baba Kama, that's the second time that we have this idea that there's a distinction in Rav Nandal of the base. The Gemara there implies that the first luchos that we give it on Shavuos contains the nusach of the text of Parshas Yisrael. The second luchos that we give it on Yom Kippur contains the text here of Parshas Vayeschanan. The Gemara asks, why is it that the Dibros Achronos, it doesn't use the language of Tov, and the Dibros Rishonos, it uses the language of Tov, Hol v'sofon l'ishtaber, because they're eventually going to be broken. He asks the Gemara, v'chi sofon l'ishtaber, my habe, and Rav Ashi, chas l'shomon, poskot tegul l'Yisrael. And essentially, the Nusach of the Luchos Achronos has the text here of l'man yitabloch. And in the first Luchos, they were broken, it is not stated l'man yitabloch. What exactly that Gemara means, it needs another shir.
Where? Which one?
Right over here. Look at West Ham. Ramayan Yitzhak Lov by Rachta Yom. Page number 2. Ramayan Yitzhak Lov, Allah, Abdom, Asher, Hashem, Rokech, Adai, Sabah, Yabba, Lati, and Kwan. There are a number of distinctions between the formulation in Yisrael and that of Pashur Eschanan that are blaring and glaring, and perhaps the same, also, more specifically, I would say, not just the same, but probably accentuated in the presentation of Shabbos. In Yisro over here, as you can see, the Torah presents Shabbos using the backdrop of Riyas Olam. Ki sheish shiyom masa Hashem es ha-shamayim es ha-aretz es ha-yom es kol ha-shevom ba-yonach ba-yom ha-shvi al-kin berach Hashem es yom ha-shabbos ba-yikacheyu. In Pashas Veschanan, the language of course, in Yisro is also Zochos Yom HaShabbos Zekatsho, and in Pashas Veschanan, Shomos Yom HaShabbos Zekatsho. But here, instead of relating Shabbos to the universal root of creation, the Torah theme zeroes in on one very particularistic theme, namely Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus of Egypt. That's the context of Pashas Veschanan. Shomos Yom HaShabbos Zekatsho, V'Sachatik Yevel HaYisro V'Yaretz Mitzrayim. Now, these distinctions are not only semantic, but they have far-reaching conceptual implications that were examined by Mishenim. Maral Prague has a rather lengthy essay in his one of his major masterpieces, The Ferris Yisrael, where he discusses some of these distinctions. I would like to focus in this year on the two presentations of Matan Torah, of the Revelation, one Matan Torah, of course, of Yisrael, one of Reis Chanan, compared the two expositions. As I asked earlier, why the necessity for it? Why did the Torah feel constrained to somehow articulate the Ases HaDibris? And even a cursory glance at the two parshas will elicit different descriptions of the Ases HaDibris, and we're going to read and try to, hopefully, Nitz Hashem, extract from both of these presentations fairly significant and very fundamental distinctions. Let's start with Yisrael. We have a preamble to Matan Torah that's found over here on page number one. The preamble, Moshe Allah Elohim, Vayikru Elav Hashem in Har Lemor, on the upper part of page one, Kosaman of Yaakov, Sagid of Yisrael. Moshe is told by Hashem Yisbarach to tell Klal Yisrael of the incredible heights, the rapturous heights that won't be achieved if we accept the Torah. Namely, V'yisam v'sgulo mikol ha'amim, V'yatem t'yuli ma'alach izkani v'goy kadosh, and our response is, Kol ha'shem divrei Hashem na'aseh, and then we are prepped for that monumental event. V'yom Hashem ha'moshe, so it is towards the bottom of the right-hand column, Lech ha'am, v'kidashtam ha'yom ha'mocha v'chibsis ha'losav, v'yum nechadim ha'yom ha'shlishi, we should prepare ourselves for this incredible event. And essentially, this particular segment focuses on the self-discipline that's required. The Torah repeats many times. The Baal Torah Salam Sabdi Lidwar, Hishamu Lachem Al Spahar Yigad Katzeo, Lo Tiga Bo Yo Kisa Kol Yisa Kel, Lo Yoro Yiyore, Yibayma Mishlo Yichem, Bimshok Hayobel, Heima Yalu Bahar. Essentially, the language which is repetitive and effusive is a language of self-discipline. And Moshe, of course, right away carries out the directive by Shem Yisbarach, by Yikadesh Yisa'om, by Yichapsusim Losam, Heyu Nechonim, L'shos Yamim, Al Tikshu El Isha, and then the Torah describes in a very dramatic kind of way, V'yikolo Subrokim Yom Kabe Elahar, Kol Shofar Chazok Me'od. The Torah describes the kolos that surround the ambience of Har Sinai. V'Har Sinai Oshan Kulo, it was smoking, as it were. Ne'asher Yorad Olam Hashem Ba'esh, V'yal Ashamo Ki Eshen HaKibshon, the smoke of the furnace, V'yecherad Kol Olam Me'od. Literally, the mountain of Kitzitir, it was literally shaking. A moment later, Hashem again instructs Moshe Rabbeinu, Nochamol, Rev Ha'ivam. So Moshe said, there's no need to explain to Klal Yisrael. You've already explained that they shouldn't trespass. There are three areas that are delineated, Machne Shechina, Machne Leviyah, Machne Yisrael. Lo yuchalam ba'ados l'har Sinai, ki atah yosav ba'ragbel sar. And Hashem says, no, Nochamol, go again. So the language of the Hikbalta is reminiscent of the commentary of the Ramban, the beginning of Kedoshim Tiyur. The Ramban says that the Torah is simply legislating a guide to self-discipline. And the most fundamental principle in Kedusha is respect for a boundary line. The major difference between an animal and a human being lies in the fact that an animal operates purely on instinct that directs its activity. And those instincts are often base, often decadent, often animalistic in nature. A human being with his logos is able to control and modulate those instincts. He can apply the necessary set of brakes to curb, to mandate, and to moderate and direct those instincts. That's Kedusha. What the Rabban calls Kadish Shatz Mechol Bemutalach, that one should sanctify oneself even in areas which are permissible. And that's exactly what this entire introduction preamble to Matan Torah in the Parsha of Yisrael is being articulated. This idea, human being creates artificial boundaries to control temptation, subdue his material, his bestial side. That's a quality that's preeminent. Now, just to again show you the term kol is stressed inordinately. I'll just read some of the psukim. The atom shema tishmu bikoli. A bit later, vayikol suvrokim be'amim kavod alahar bikol shefer chazik mo. Vayikol shefer holy bechazik mo. Moshe idaber velkim yadim bekol. And after aser sadibus, look at the left hand column, underlined section. Sukim, Yudches, Yutes, Chav, Chav, Aleph. V'chol ha'am ro'o mesakolos yes alapidim v'eskol ha'shofar v'esor ha'oshen. Chazal, note the use of the word ro'im. Ro'im mesakolos. How do you see a kol? Rashi already comments on it. Rashi says, ro'im mesanishma v'shomim mesanire. What's the nature of this emphasis on kol? Al kideka, where there's a very famous parak in Tehillim, Tehillim Chavtes, that we say actually on Friday night, before the Chadodi, also on Shabbos morning, before Musaf, after Kriyas HaTorah, the Ari HaKadosh writes that this Perek HaTehillim, Tehillim Chavtes, has multifaceted Kabbalistic allusions. And we have to say with great kavana and further enjoy, which Mizmor am I referring to? Mizmor LeDavid. Havel Hashem b'nei Eilim, Havel Hashem kavod v'oz. And then there you have the following. Also, the same term repeatedly utilized, Kol Hashem al amoyim, Kel HaKavod Yirim, Hashem amayim v'am, Kol Hashem b'koyach, Kol Hashem b'hador, Kol Hashem shomer arazim, Kol Hashem chotzeim la'avot esh, Kol Hashem b'chil midbar. Chazal say, what are we referring to? Divine revelation. Matan Torah. The pronouncing of the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, Yaseres HaDibros. When kings who were as haughty as the mighty Arzi Albano, the mighty cedars of Lebanon, were broken into submission. Yochil Hashem Midbar Kodesh. What Midbar is that? Midbar Sinai. Where the Torah in effect was given. So these kolos are overwhelming in their sheer power and magnitude. And that's exactly what the Torah describes here as well at the end of Pashas Yisro. Bayarom, Bayanu, Bayamdu Merachom. We've discussed this a number of times. As Lovitch used to say over from the Kotzka, that sometimes a person can be under the impact of a tremendous event that occurs in his life, whether it's a drasha. Sometimes a drasha can even have an impact. Once a year, and or some other kind of event that occurs that a person recognizes that there's something here incredibly charismatic. What happens? How long does it last? Bayarom, Bayanu, Ziyat Gishakol. Bayam the Rachel said, Gishtanu from the mountains didn't have much of an impact on them. Only Bishas Maise, when the Tesis writes in Chagiga and elsewhere, Smechem Kinisasa Mehasina. Bishas Nesina, at the moment of the Sina, it had an impact. And a moment later, it dissipated, it completely left. But here we have this idea of Kol, which is essentially the very theme, the major theme that's found actually in Parshas Yisro. Take a look at Bais Chana now, which is on page number 2, and you'll see the language is completely different. Specifically, one term, everybody's noticed by the Rishonim, the Ramban specifically. Here the Torah, I'll just review the Bais Chana, which is essentially found on page number 2. The Torah begins with Moshe Rabbeinu imploring Hashem to enter Eretz Yisrael, and the people are enjoined as well to a host of communications. Listen to the Chukim, listen to Mishpatim, the whole Sefer Dvarim essentially is focused on Chukim and Mishpatim. And then there are two specific pesukim. Kimi God God Hashem Elo Kib Kovim Elo. The Gemara says Rosh Hashanah B'Skrav as Holy Shikol Teren on this. Mi God God Hashem Elo Kib Kovim Elo refers to Tzilah B'Tzibur, the Koach of Tzilah B'Tzibur that only Kol Yisrael has. And then Mi God God Hashem Elo Chukim Mishpat B'Tzadikim. The fact that we are Yashristik, that we are honest, we are ethical. Our ethical integrity and moral probity is absolutely unparalleled. And then the Gemara goes on. Suddenly, there's a sudden and jolting warning, and that's found over here in the Tzokim. You can see in the upper right-hand corner, page number 2. Rak yishor lecha shmo nafshecha ma'od. Pentish kachas advoim shavu inecha. Chazal comment on this, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Sagan Rav in office. A few other statements in Chazal, namely not to forget Matan Torah, the experience of Matan Torah. But take a look at the language that the Torah uses. V'ahor bo'er bo'esh ablei v'ashamayim. Torah describes the fire of Har Sinai. Look how many times the term Esh is used, a very graphic, very vivid description. The image of the fire of Har Sinai is of central significance. And many, many times this occurs again and again and again. I'm not going to read all the psukim. You can review them. You can see what I'm referring to. Ki Hashem Elokecha, look towards the bottom. So the specific covenant warned Har Sinai, warning us to desist from any idolatrous leanings, is underscored. And the Ramban, in his Perush Al Teva, and the Ramban on the Buchem, and many Rishonim point this out, the language of Kel Kana, eventual God, is dafka used in the context of the admonition not to engage in idolatrous worship. And then the Torah launches into a lengthy soliloquy in terms of the future of Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. Despite all the exhortations against Avodah Zarah, we're going to succumb. This is the Kriyas HaTorah of Tishuvah, Kisovid, Bonim, Ubei, Bonim, Veno Shantem, Baharetz, Veish, Chatem, Vasisem, Pesel, Tunasko, Vasisem, Harab, Ene, Hashem, Lekar, Adam, Hiso, Hayindosi, Vachan, Hayom, Es, Hashemayim, Ves, Haaretz, Ki, Abo, Tov, Yidu, Maher, and of course, the ultimate punishment, Behitis, Hashem, Es, Chem, Bohamim, Golus, we're going to be placed into exile, and of course, once again, once we're in exile, we'll be nostalgic, Behitis, Yisrael, Vatsar, Lechom, Tzom, Lekol, Adron, Meile, We'll be Kashtem, Mishem, Es, Hashem, Lekar, Matzasach, so what force will inspire and motivate us to return? So the Torah tells us strikingly, that force is Matan Torah. We'll remember the good old days. Kishalno the Yomim Rishonim Hashahoyim Lefanecha. Namely, Hashama Om Kol Elokim Medabem Mitoch Ha'esh, Kasha Shamata Atov Ayechi. This miraculous event from the fire that Hashem redeemed us from Mitzrayim so we can observe Chukim Mishpatim and Mizerot Arbichis Yomim, Dafin Eretz Yisrael, Asher Yitav Lechol Banecha Harecha, Uleman Tarich Yomim Adho Adoma Asher Hashem Elokim Mizerot Arbichis Yomim. And then there's an interlude that deals with the Ori Miklod. As you know, Ori Miklod is mentioned many times in Chumash, and that requires a separate shiur. Why the so many repetition of the Ori Miklod concept? And then again, Hashem Elokeinu in Parakei, Karasimon Bris Bechorei, there was a covenant, Mitoch Ha'esh, Ki Reise Mitoch Ha'esh. And then again, towards the end of this, Asadvor Me'ile, Dibri Hashem Elokol Kalta Bar, Mitoch Ha'esh. Called Gadol Bal Yosef, and of course, Kol Yisrael were frightened. Hein Heron, Hashem Elokeinu, dwelling with Gadol, and Mitoch Ha'esh. Hayom Azir Ha'inu Ki Daber Elokim, that Hashem can speak to a human being, Bachoy. So this is very much in contrast to the Kolos of Parshas Yisrael. That's contrast number one. Very obvious, just reading the text carefully. And yet there's also a kind of paralytic fear that's being expressed over here. The word kisochlein ha'ish abdel azos. We can't hear anymore. Ki mi kol basra ha'shasham ha'kol elokim chayim medabe mitoch ha'ish kalom ha'yechi. So here, the problem presented is not so much the spoken voice of Hashem, but rather the voice of Hashem from the backdrop of fire. So that's one very significant distinction. We're going to come to Maskana shortly regarding that distinction, but that's the first. The Kol Hashem of Pasuk Yisrael pitted against the Dibur Mitoch Ha'esh of Ha'es Ha'am. Number two, who's being addressed? So you look at Pasuk Yisrael, clearly being addressed are the generation that left Mitzrayim. Atem Ra'isim Asher Asisim Mitzrayim. And Mamlechus Kohanim, the Goy Kadosh. And it's very interesting that even the nomenclature that the Torah uses to describe the people is the one we're familiar with from their stay in Mitzrayim. Remember, Paro was the first one to utilize this nomenclature. The term Am. In Yisrael, it was described either as Am or B'nei Yisrael. I'll just show you a few examples. V'yoshev Moshe es divrei ha'am el Hashem. V'yanu kol ha'am yachto. V'avur yishma ha'am v'dabri imach. V'yagish Moshe es divrei ha'am el Hashem. Leicha ha'am v'kidash ha'am ha'amu. Laying the Kalam al Harsinai, the Baltes on, Minor and on, by the Kadishes on, Ring Hain Bob. You get the general picture. So that's the term Am that's used repeatedly here in Pasuk Yisro. What about in Bais Chanan? That terminology is not to be bad. What do we find in Bais Chanan? The Atar Yisrael, by Yiko Moshe al Kod Yisrael, by Yom Adem Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And the language actually is enriched with the term Lovas Abusena Koras Hashem Sabrizazos Hakel Yesom, the Lashon of Hakel. So we have two different sets of terminology. One used in Pasuk Yisrael, the term Am, and that which is in contrast to it in Pasuk Bais Chanan, are the B'nai Yisrael, Kahal Yisrael. That's number two. Number three, the focus here is not only to the generation that are going to enter Eretz Yisrael in Bais Chanan, but to subsequent generations as well. There's an unusual preoccupation in Bais Chanan, not only with children, but with grandchildren, great-grandchildren. As I mentioned, Ki Solid Banim Uvnei Banim Menoshantem Baretz, so we just read Antishaba. Beyond that, here in Perek Dalet, Pasuk Tes, Vodatem Livanecha Livnei Banecha. You're supposed to inform your children, grandchildren, Yom Asher Amadol Me'Hashem Elokecha B'chorei. A bit later, another. And so you have here a concern. It's an enormous stress, not just on children, on grandchildren, to ensure that our stay in Eretz Yisrael will be of a permanent nature, not of a transitory nature. That's something which does not exist in Parshas Yisro at all. And beyond that, there's a concomitant theme, which is Yiras Hashem. Throughout Sefer Dvarim, that's a very favorite theme of the Torah. And as you know, there are two genres of Yira. This already needs a lot of careful attention. There's Yiras HaInesh, Yiras HaRimbus, where Rav Shenin point out, we have to figure out when Yiras HaInesh is being addressed, when Yiras HaRimbus is being addressed. But this also is found, especially in Bais Chanan, V'yatam Adveitim Hashem Elokeichem Chayim Kul Chavayam. I'm just looking for a number of psukim. Ki mi godol, mi goy godol Hashem Elokim Kovim Elok, Hashem Elokeinu, V'chol Koreinu Eilo. V'odatim L'vadecho, the obligation to pass on the Masorah, Asher Yomdun L'Yiro Si. A bit later, Ki Hashem Elokim Hashem Ayin Mahal V'Rosh Noah Zit, Ni Yitem Boi L'Vav V'Zel Ha'en, L'Yiro Si. L'man Tiras Hashem Elokecha. They say that the Torah is focused on this element, so this is distinction number three between Yisro and Bais Chanan. Distinction number four. In Parshas Yisro, it's stressed, V'yisem li segula mikol ha'amim ki li kol ha'aretz. Hasolvitz is atzal commented a number of times that the Torah has no specific locus. The Torah transcends all geographic bounds. The Torah can be studied in Eretz Yisrael, can be studied in South Africa, can be studied in Johannesburg, in Teaneck, New Jersey, in Chicago. The Torah is borderless. It's relevant at all corners of the globus. However, here in Bais Chanan, that's not the case. Very clear in Bais Chanan, here the focus is clearly Eretz Yisrael. Just go from one pasuk to the next again. Chukim mishpatim, l'man tichyu uvasem birishtem es oretz. A bit later, Sukim Dalim Nehi over here, Perek Dalim. Rei l'manati eschem chukim mishpatim la'asos kein b'kerev oretz. Yudalim. Vosi tivu Hashem v'ayisayin l'lami eschem chukim mishpatim la'asos kein osam b'oretz asher atem bo'em shamu l'mishtot. Chabbeiz. V'atem bo'obim birishtem es oretz atem v'azos. Men, b'shamat eshuk haves mishpatim asher yitab l'chol v'necha harecha. It is an unbelievable focus on Eretz Yisrael. And this, of course, is in opposition to Parshas Yisro. Again, a very significant fifth distinction between Yisro and Bais Chanan. Number six. Something that strikes my peak. I follow Shalom with Bala by this. Chazal said, the Gemara said in Shabbos, the Gemara that pig test. The Gemara says over there that Har Sinai has a number of epithets, a number of names. The nomenclature of Har Sinai changes. It's also called Choreh. Why is it called Sinai? Shemisham Yarda Sinai Lumos Ha'elam. The Sin and the Sama are going to go metathesis. Choreh Shemisham Yarda Churva Lumos Ha'elam. And yet you look in Yisrael in the context of Aseret HaDibros, how is the mountain described? It described either as Midbar Sinai or Har Sinai or Har. It's true that the term Choreh appears in Sefer Shmos, but I believe that's in Meshalach. Hinei Omid Fanecha Shama Latzur B'Choreh, and also added by the Sneh. Vayom El Har Elokim Choreh and Kisisa. I'm just trying to think where the term Choreh actually is found in Chumash, but in the context of Yisrael, only Har Sinai exists. I believe it's quite striking that in Sefer Dvarim, with the exception at the end of Dvarim, when the Torah describes that Hashem offered the Rambam Bakama, Hashem offered the Torah to all the nations of the world. So the pasuk says, Hashem mi Sinai bo mizrach mi Sei Olamo. What is the term that's used throughout Sefer Dvarim? Choreh. Beginning of Dvarim, Achad Asoyom Mechoreh Derech Haseir Ad Kodesh Baneah. Vanisa Mechoreh. In Bais Chanan here also. Up right here in column, page number two. Yom Asher Amadot Me'asher Elokecha Bechoreh. And a bit later. Kilo Risem Kol Tmuna B'yom Divrei Asher Elokecha Bechoreh. Especially in the context of Matan Torah here in Pasuk Hey, Perek Hey, Hashem Elokeinu Kara Simana Bris Bechoreh, and later on in Ikir as well, I believe the Torah uses again the same terminology. Ubechoreh Hitzatem Es Hashem, also the term choreg, which is constantly in use, after here, in Pashas Goyes Chanan. So again, this is another fundamental salient distinction between Yisrael and Goyes Chanan. How the har is described in Yisrael Sinai and Goyes Chanan Choreg. The question is why? Where are we holding? Number seven, another distinction. And the distinction that we mentioned earlier, namely Shabbos, Yisrael, the connection to Bria Shemayim Lores, to the creation. Goyes Chanan, Yitzias Mitzrayim. So all these differences, textual, terminological, conceptual, all lead to one, to my mind, ineluctable conclusion, namely, Tzvedin. Everything is Tzvedin. Everything is dialectic. Yisro and Veschanan constitute two different parshios, or Salvation would call it, two different charismatic messages that are embedded here in these two parshios of Yisro and Veschanan. And I believe it's not by Chiddush, it's Klor Ramban. Anyone who learns Ramban, I'll tell you. Well, I'm just interpreting the Ramban in modern terminology, if you don't mind. I mentioned already a number of times the famous Gemara Kedushin. Gemara comments, who will know, who will know, let's say there's a wherewithal either for a father to learn Torah and a son to learn Torah. So the din is that, who could have lived them? Unless the Gemara says, B'nai Zari is the Mavulach, he has a son who's full of intellectual acuity, he's very bright, very a lot of perspicacity. Then, of course, under those circumstances, but no kodo. So I think I mentioned it already once before. I asked this to Rav Soloveitchik when my children were very, very young. And they were sort of somewhat on the rambunctious side, as children are wont to be. That's what they're supposed to be. So I asked them that many fathers want to learn. I'm one of them. And yeah, we send our children to yeshivas. And they're not exactly into the learning mode. I'm not talking about people your age. Or you, specifically. Obviously, you're outstanding Ben Torah. But younger children, we can even see them. I see that in my grandchildren, not always exactly want to sit down and study a blocky mother when I speak to them. So they have approximately the patience of about 4.5 seconds. So now the Gemara says, who will know? Who can know? So why should I be supporting my children? I asked the question of Rasul Richard many decades ago. That's against the Gemara. He was familiar with the Gemara. That's moved to Amen. Familiar with the Din of Shavonah. So Rav Soloveitchik told me on the spot, you are correct. Because he would say, you are correct. You're right, 100%. But this was one problem. If the problem was who couldn't know? But if you don't teach your children, if they don't study Torah, the issue is not the issue who Bilbo Bino Bilbo. Who Bilbo Bino Yossi Hudi? Is your son going to still be Jewish? Will it be Mamshit the Masorah? Will they continue of Yetz Hashem, the transmission of Maimon HaSinai? So it's not simply a question of who Lilma B'nai Lilma. The issue is much more profound, has great consequences. The issue is the continued Masoretic existence of Klal Yisrael, the ongoing transmission of the Masoretic Midor L'Dor. So maybe if that's the case, the sock is hands down. B'nai Kedmai. Of course, his son comes first. The obligation to transmit the Masoretic overrides the din of who lived by the B'nai, who could have been done? That's what Soloveitchik Zatzal told me. And as in fact, what were you saying? If I can interpret all this in the light of the Ramban that I said, there are two distinct obligations that are independent and simultaneously complementary one of the other. And these are the two pashas of Yisrael and Veschanan. The first obligation is to learn Torah as a means to an end. And at the same time, of course, Torah is an end in itself. The Beis Halevi has a famous Shtigl Torah we discussed the question of women and Talmud Torah. And the Beis Halevi comes to the maskana that women are only chayav in Talmud Torah as a means to an end, in order to know how to behave, halacha l'maaseh. That's their function in Talmud Torah. Masha'en king, the male gender is obligated to study Torah as an end in itself. The many nafkiminas that the Beis Halevi brings, one of the nafkiminas is fairly obvious that is there a chid to learn kodshim and taros, etc., that are not so relevant. Ad she'beis amini shibana is Hashem meir b'yameinu. But till that point in time, so women are not obligated, because it's not a means to an end. Men are obligated to learn Torah as an end in itself. So this initial function presupposes and demands intellectual, cognitive development, finely honed analytic skills, critical thinking, abstract, conceptual formulation at the highest of levels. That obligation to communicate halachic methodology, Rav Soloveitchik would say, in scientific precise categories, in elegant language, is a well known coordinated system. That's the function of Pasuk Yisrael. And essentially, the function of Yisrael is the normative study of Torah as a divine discipline that presupposes hachana, that the Torah describes in great length, intellectual preparation, spiritual preparation, and it's founded upon the most fundamental principle, which is not often observed, that each individual requires their own chinuch. It has to be tailor-made to each person, each young man, each young woman. That's one obligation that's embedded in Pasuk Yisrael. There's a second obligation that I believe is really at the heart of Bais Chanukah. Namely, we want to ensure that Netzach Yisrael, or Yishaker, as the Navi says, we want to assure Jewish continuity. We want to shore up the bris of the covenantal community when Hashem is brought to transmit the Masera from door to door. So here the focus is not solely on the intellect, but primarily on the regesh, exciting the emotional heartstrings of the child. That is Pashas Bais Chanukah. The Eish HaTorah, the fire of Torah, reflects a totally different message. The thrust of it is not so much cognitive, but more so experiential, emotive in nature. Its vehicle is more the Rebbe Talmud relationship than simply a teacher-student yachas. Pashas Yisrael has a student-teacher yachas, but Pashas Bais Chanukah primarily underscores the message of the Torah as a vehicle to experience Dveikus of Hashem Yisbarach, the intimate embrace of Hashem Yisbarach, and that Yisod is adumbrated by the Ramban in his famous doctrine that he repeats any number of times, starting with Parshas Truma and going all the way to the end of Chumash, namely Mishkan equals Har Sinai. Ramban was concerned about the issue. The Torah tells us Bimshach Hayevel Hemi Alamar, Achlokas Rashi and other Rishonim of the Ramban what the term Yevel means, but whatever the case is, the experience was over, as I mentioned earlier, in the name of the Kotzka. So now how do I continue that experience? And the answer is Mishkan. The Mishkan says the Ramban was a portable Har Sinai. Ramban by Richas in Truba, he shows the not only the terminological parallels, but the conceptual parallels between the Mishkan and Har Sinai. Both were based on Kedushas Mechitzas. Machane Shechina, Machane Leviyah, Machane Yisrael, demarcated, divided to different sections, and that accompanied us throughout our peregrinations in the desert. So to the Ramban, the fundamental theme of the Torah is the constant attempt on the part of every single Jew to rendezvous with Hashem Yisbarach, or as our Salvation would call, to have a date with the Shechina. A romance with Hashem Yisbarach. A romance with the Torah, a romance with Hashem Yisbarach. The Ramban, actually, in his introduction to Shmos, as he calls the Sefer Geula, explains why the laws related to the Binyan HaMishkan are included in the second Sefer of Shmos, which is known as the Book of Exodus, when it should have been more appropriate to introduce it, basically, in Vayikra, because obviously the themes that are found there are more connected to Vayikra than they are to Sefer Shmos. So the Ramban answer is that initially HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwelled in the tent of the Ovisi Rimbals. The Targum Unkelos always translates Vayir Elo Hashem, the Eloni Mamre, Gu Yoshi Pesach Ha'el, Mishkina. That's how the Ovis lived, in effect, in a Mishkan. And the redemption from Mitzrayim was only completed when the Shechina dwelt amongst Klal Yisrael. They were elevated to the exalted state of the Avosein Rakdashim. The Avos Hei Neimer Kaftan Shachar Lebochad, the Ramban Kisiger quotes that Kabbalistic phrase. And as the divine presence manifested itself at Sinai, the first Mikdash, and then was transferred to the Mishkan, to the Tabernacle. So in fact, the Mishkan has a dual aspect, according to Ramban. Number one, Kedushas Mechitzos, delineated areas of Kedusha, similar to Har Sinai, Big Balta, as I mentioned earlier. And number two, the Mishkan was in Makom Hizbanus. That's what we should point out, that the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, was the Makom Haba. It was a place to encounter Hashem Yisbarach. So the Torah has actually two foci. One is the focus, of course, the intellectual focus, but beyond the shell of the Torah, there are mighty passionate forces that are at work. And the Ramban, whose brilliance caught this nuance, developed this idea as his Perash Al Torah. Sefer Mitzvah, take a look, for example, here on page number 3. You can see the Ramban in the Sefer Mitzvah. Sheminanu shalom nishkach maimer asinai. We're not allowed to beget maimer asinai v'lo nosi v'esoy midatengel. There should be asa hadas from maimer asinai. But yiyu einenu v'libeinu shom kol hayomim. Our hearts and our minds should be there 24/7. Hu amoro yisbarach. Hishom alecho shmo nafshecha me'ein. This is an obligation that we have to go ahead and somehow transmit to our children and grandchildren. And the Rabban goes on to say, if someone's going to deny the experience of Hasina, and this, by the way, is something which is unique to Tal Yisrael, other religions have other quote-unquote, so-called majestic, numinous experiences, but nothing can be documented or proven. And here, we have an experience that was witnessed by 600,000 plus and transmitted by all the Rishonim who point this out. The Rabban says, "Sha'anachna ayodim anyone who denies it, v'shakuso v'pachsuso." The Rabban has here both a lav and a mitzvah saseh. Take a look at the previous page number 4. Rabban here comments that Hakosu b'azeh b'vidaiti mitzvah lo saseh. Not only is there a positive commandment to transmit the experience of Hamayim and Hasinai, there's also a lav, namely not to forget that experience and transmit it to our children, as the Rabban writes. First, he mentions a lav, and then on the second paragraph, Mitzvah Mitzasei, Shinodia Lechol Zareno, Midor Lidor, Kol Mashahayasham Biriya Bishmiya. Vatayelas Mitzvah Zayt Delmo, that's what the main function of Berevi is, to transmit the Eish, the fire of Maimon HaSinai, the fire of Torah. I remember that Rav Soloveitchik recalled that when he was a relatively young man in Chaslovich, in White Russia, where his father was the Rav in the Chabad Shtot, the secretary of the Bezdin, who was a very old man, told Rabbi Shabbat, told the Rav, Rav Soloveitchik, he recalled as a young man, as a boy, seeing a very old chazan when he was a child, was part of an itinerant choir that used to go from town to town. And the chazan himself recalled that once when this choir was in Vilna to perform, they saw a very imposing man, tall and handsome. He was walking in the street, surrounded by his talmidim in a kind of semicircle. So when he inquired, who was that imposing man? He was told that was the Goyin of Chassid of Vilna. The Goyin of Vilna was known as the Chassid. A Goyin of Chassid of Vilna, otherwise known as the Vilna Goyin. So when he asked why his Talmidim surrounded him in a semicircle, he was told he resembled Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin also sat in a kind of semicircle. That's a Gemara. So he's the Rasulovich. He met a man who had met another man who saw the Goyin, who saw the Vilna Goyin. And there's a link between the generations. The mighty streams of Masera. And interestingly enough, that's exactly what the Ramban, I believe, is commenting on. I'll just mention as well that this story, I did not witness. I was not Zeche, but I heard from Rabbi Ginnak Shlita. Rabbi Nachum Ginnak, the head of the OU, and the master Tam Chochem. So he said that one summer, after which he gave a few shurim on the Kuti Torah by Rav Shnei Zalman of Liadi, the founder of Chabad, the Balatanya, Shulchan Aruch Harav. He felt it was important to study the Likutei Torah not to appreciate the grandeur of Rosh Hashanah. So he saw that some of the Talmidim, not some, all I heard, were resistant to learning this Hasidic work. So Rav Soloveitchik related, I think it's an apocryphal story, from what I gather, namely, Ben Shnei Horim, between two mountains, written by a classical Hebrew author, Yudah Meperetz. Told them a story that describes the encounter of Rav Soloveitchik's great-grandfather, the Beis Halevi, from Rav Soloveitchik, was named after him, and the Bialy Rebbe. Bialy Rebbe was a former, there's Bialy over here too. Okay, I won't comment. Anyway, a former Talmud of his who had become a Hasidic Rebbe. Bialy Rebbe was the Talmud of the Beis Halevi, so Bialy Rebbe was full of passion and religious fervor. He cajoled his master, the Beis Halevi, to come visit at a gathering of the Rebbe's followers. And the way Yilam and Paris tells the story, so the song and warmth of the Chassidim, it was in the middle of winter. Oh, the outside snow was completely melted, and there was such a bankai that was existed, and the trees were blooming, and the birds are chirping in the middle of the winter, which, of course, is a Nisa. So the whole cold Russian winter twilight was transformed to the ecstasy of the Chassidim, to a bright spring day. Nope, it was close to Shkia, the Beis Halevi. He was a Litvak. He had a profound analytical mind. He was devoid of undisciplined emotion. He gave a kook up the Zega. He takes a look at the watch. He realized that Shkia is approaching. Time for the Micha. So he interrupted the entire, all the singing and all the dancing and all the ecstasy and all the Ramkai to remind the assembly it was getting late. Time for the Micha. Suddenly the glorious spring faded and the cold winter returned. And Soloveitchik then turned to Rabbi Ganak and said, "That's you!" That's what Rabbi Ganak told me. And Soloveitchik was trying to convey this idea that there are two aspects of the Torah. There's the logic of the Torah, there's the passion of the Torah. And he told the Talmidim, is what I heard. And this I heard him say on other occasions. "You're only interested in that which is in my mind and not that which is in my heart." So these are the two aspects of the Torah. Our interest was more in Pashas Yisrael than Pashas Beschanan. And maybe he always said that he's never successful in conveying that Pashas Beschanan. So this now needs a lot more explication. Exactly. Maybe I can give you a bit more. It's a summer. I'm a summer that I'm not sure. And thank you. What a heta. Can't believe it. There's no Yisrael Baltesim when it comes to Talmud Torah, even though people think otherwise. But anyway, there are two main functions to Talmud Torah. One, as I see it, is, as I said a moment ago, learning Torah in order to comprehend. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah is an instrument of knowing what to do. It means to an end, the way that the Halevi, the Salegi expressed it. The interesting Rav Zevin, the author of Moedim Balocha, that's a paper that's kedai to become familiar with. I'm supposed to be tonight at some simcha. A Talmud of mine became a chassum in the Bei Yaakov, the Chayv Rav Zevin. So Rav Zevin actually, in Moedim Balocha, so he discusses this Beis Halevi. He has a number of very fascinating essays in the other set called Lior HaAlocha. It's not in Moedim Balocha, but Lior HaAlocha. He wrote about 7 or 8 Sfarim, and I read all of them. And this one, Lior HaAlocha, has a collection of essays. One of them is in Talmud Torah. He discusses this Beis Halevi, that Talmud Torah is a means to an end in itself. So that's one obvious aspect of Talmud Torah to know. But the second aspect, learning as a means to achieve Kedusha. Tyra Sagabra means learning for the purpose of Yirah Shamayim, learning as a religious experience of the highest order. And this we know is something which is very, very fascinating. So let you always used to cite a Rashi in Brochus. The Gemara says over there, Igra the Pirka Riyata, a very fascinating Rashi. That Rashi says, where's that? And the days, I believe it is. I read Brochus a few times. So Igra the Pirka Riyata. So Rashi says over there, and the Rebbe pointed this out, when his both grandfather, Rav Chaim Griska, said, they said drushes, Rabbanim didn't say drushes often, they said only on Shabbos Shuvah and Shabbos HaGol. No one knew what they were talking about. They were talking the Erev Yom Kippur, between Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and Dalach Chilul Kapor, the Sugya at the end of Yuma, Rav Masri ben Chorosh. No one knew what they were talking about. And then, when it came to Pesach, they were speaking about Korban Pesach. Who's holding Korban Pesach? So people, so why'd they come? So Rashi says over there, Nabomlev base, Igor the Pirka Riyata, even though they don't understand, says Rashi, the schar isn't just the running to hear the drasha. My father Shalom trained me to run to hear every drasha that the Rabbanim give. I didn't have a choice. It was Kefanos HaShem HaRei Tzadi. It was a gun put in my head. Today, Meloi from the drasha. Meloi from Shurim. People run away from Shurim, run away from drashas. Achmas, Nebuch. I'm Achmas and Hashem. I hope the image will also have Rachmanis on it. I doubt it.
Okay, how can such people achieve Tahara for Talmud Torah?
They won't.
So then maybe there's another way, maybe they have to achieve Tahara another way.
Okay. The ideal way is through a Rebbe Talmud relationship, is listening to people who are Rosh Yeshiva and Rabbanim, who are trying to inspire others with you. My Rabbeim inspired me. I wouldn't be what I am if not for my Rabbeim. And the reason why the door is what it is, because they have no Rabbeim. I said this many times, I'll continue to say it. But Rashi says over there, and over the base, that the schar is the running to hear the drasha. So, vis-a-vis the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, they're obviously not understanding. So, that first aspect, the parasha of Yisrael, they don't get. But often they will get the Eish HaTorah, that they will get, that's something that unquestionably will be achieved by virtue of that connection with Rabbein, with Rashi Yeshiva, with people who are in the high Madrega. I always contend that this is also the distinction between this Nogia to the Shabbos, Tam Elyon, Tam Tachton, that it's a separate shir. The Mishnah Berurah already be Alocha, I heard from Soloveitchik many, many times, but the Tam Elyon, Tam Tachton to me represent these two aspects of Torah. One is in terms of Sukkim, to understand the text, that's a din in Pasha Yisrael, and one is in order to connect to the Eishat Torah, the fire of Torah, Dibras. Those are the two distinctions we've seen, and there are a lot of subtle, very fundamental distinctions. I'm just going to end because I don't want to be ever about Tesef. We have here some very prominent Yekki people. Anyway, so the let's end by noting the following. There's a famous Tosfos Chagiga, and Tosfos there Chagiga actually describes the experience. He's talking about actually the context is Elisha ben Abuya, and Tosfos quotes, I believe, Yushalmi. And Yushalmi says that Abuya, his father, was one of the Gdolei Yerushalayim, and so all the Gdolei Yerushalayim got together, and they were there in one home, and there was they were eating and drinking and dancing, and Rabbi Yeshua, I believe, was the one who said that there will be Isaac in there. Thing we should be Isaac and Talmud Torah, and began to be Isaac and Talmud Torah, the two or three or four Talmud Chacham that were there, and Eish Yorad Ben Hashamayim. So the text writes over there, Chagiga, that Eish came down from heaven, and so Abuya said, who is coming to burn my house down? Well, this took place actually in this house, in the home of the father of Elisha, namely Abuya, and they said, Chas v'shalom, no, not that we want to burn the house down, but we were learning the Chazin de Reitera, and we went from Terah and Devim and Devim to Tzulim, and Boyo Advarim Smechem Kinisinasa Mehar Sinai. The fire of Torah was so powerful, and that's exactly what he said, Abuya. He said, the fire of Torah, the Kach of Torah is so great, so then I'm going to dedicate my son to this particular goal. But unfortunately, his Kavanah was not the Shem Shemayim, Taisa says, and then it was not Mekuyim. So you see in this Taisa also, this second idea, namely, not just the Pasha of Yisuf, the intellectual, but more significantly, the Eish HaTorah that has to be transmitted, and we succeed in transmitting the Eish HaTorah to the next generation, Be'ez HaShem Yitzbarach, undoubtedly, it will have a massive impact and transform the entire door. Halavai, we should be certain to do so.
Question? Hello.